What do you think it is? Is this the Nationals saying, yeah, we got no chance at Bryce Harper, so we'll try to approach things the other way? Or do you think it's the Nationals saying, yeah, even if we get Bryce Harper back, can't be a bad thing having the best available free agent pitcher in the market join you?
I don't remember who it was. It might have been Buster Olney, who I think had a very savvy and canny point, which is that the Nationals are playing this offseason as if they're not going to get Bryce Harper. But if they do, it's going to be an ownership decision anyway,
right,
and they're just going to benefit from it. It was almost like the Max Scherzer situation. Max Scherzer, all the baseball people wanted Max Scherzer. Don't get me wrong, but it's very difficult to make a $210 million investment without your owner being fully on board with the idea. And what's incredible to me is that over the last, I think, 3 or 4 years now, the Nationals have committed $525 million to three starting pitchers in an era where a team last year won more games than the Nationals with one starting pitcher.
Yeah.
And one being paid $550,000 at that.
And, a couple of things need to be said about this. First of all, the Lerner family, if they are not the richest owners in baseball, the wealthiest owners in baseball, they are pretty close. You also have Ted Lerner has turned over, I believe, control of the team to his son, or his son is stepping up to assume leadership of the team. And Jeff, I don't know him, but I don't know if I'm replacing my father in that position, I'm not certain that I want my first signature move to be losing Bryce Harper. You know, that's, and I'm sure Scott Boras is thinking that.
I think that's probably part of the calculus, but Bryce Harper also wants $300+ million.
Right.
And committing that much when you already have a $210 million contract on the books, when you have a $175 million contract on the books, when you have a $140 million contract, when you have another $100 million-plus in Ryan Zimmerman, that's toward its end, but still on there. And more than that, when Anthony Rendon's going to be a free agent, when Trey Turner, I think 3 years from now, is going to be a free agent, when Juan Soto, the kind of guy who is a Scott Boras client, but you still want to try to lock him up long-term at least, there are a lot of other pieces moving here. And when you look at the Nationals' outfield, they've got Victor Robles to play center field. You move Adam Eaton over to right field, you have Juan Soto in left field, and all of a sudden, you're not better,
mm-hmm,
but you're not demonstrably significantly worse, especially with Robles' ceiling. I mean, he's a guy who can be a star-type player and has shown that in the minor league. So you've got a ready-made fill-in right there. The Nationals are, every year it's like the Nationals are going to be really good, and you wonder what the hell happened. Last year turned into a debacle, but this year I think they're primed to have a nice comeback and be the team that a lot of people expected them to be, Bryce Harper or not.
So now that Patrick Corbin is off the table, where do the Phillies and Yankees go? The Yankees acquired James Paxton, obviously. Paxton, I should say, they've acquired him. But where do they turn their attention to now?
Well, I get the sense that the Yankees do not want to go 4 years on Nathan Eovaldi.
Mm-hmm.
I think Nathan Eovaldi is going to get 4 years. And I think he's going to get 4 years at a pretty significant sum for a guy who, hasn't thrown 200 innings in his career. But, hey, that's baseball in 2019. And Patrick Corbin's a guy who has a career 4 ERA and has had Tommy John surgery, and he got $140 million. So while we're not seeing the Mike Leakes of the world getting $80 million or the Jeff Suppons of the world getting $50 million, what we are seeing is the guys with the elite stuff, and that's what Patrick Corbin has, and that's what Nathan Eovaldi has, getting paid big dollars, because that's what it's very similar to what hockey has become. It's almost like a Stars and Scrubs system. Mm-hmm. Either if you are a star, you're going to get paid, and if you're not, you're not. And this is not to call anybody who's not getting paid a scrub. They're better at what they do than I will ever be at what I do. But the fact is, Major League Baseball teams have begun to recognize that the value is in the elite, and that when you go a level or two in particular down from that elite player, standard deviation or two down from him, you're just going to be able to find someone similar to that within your farm system. Maybe not as good, but we're talking max a marginal win. And mm-hmm. You know what? You can make that up in different places.
The market for Bryce Harper and Manny Machado as it stands right now, I mean, are we still operating under the assumption that Manny ends up with either the Yankees or Phillies, or do you think that potentially somebody comes out of left field? I don't know if I'd say the Nationals came out of left field, but could you see somebody stepping up here that we perhaps haven't been talking about and making a play for Manny? Could you see him going back to the Dodgers? I don't know.
No, I don't think so. Okay. I think Manny's market and Bryce Harper's market, frankly, are probably going to be larger than we realize or than we think. And I'm actually in the minority here in believing that they're going to get paid an exorbitant amount of money. Mm-hmm. I had someone who I really respect earlier today tell me that he doesn't think Bryce Harper's going to get $300 million. And I don't believe it. And I don't believe it because almost 20 years ago now, Jeff, Alex Rodriguez got $252 million from the Texas Rangers. Mm-hmm. Almost 20 years ago. Now, Bryce Harper's not Alex Rodriguez. Manny Machado's not Alex Rodriguez. But they are the closest thing that baseball has had to A-Rod in those interceding years. And when you consider what has happened with revenues in baseball, it's obscene to think that revenues have grown to $10 billion from the $3 billion or so, if that, they were at the time in 2000, and to think that the salaries have not grown commensurate. That's what all of the economic fervor in baseball is about right now. It's about owners, you know, billionaires getting more billions and millionaires not getting as many millions. Mm-hmm. And it's a difficult concept for the public, I think, to understand that even though these people are still, and I'm talking about the athletes, are still rich, they're not getting what they should in terms of just fair numbers compared to what they did in the past. And that's a tough sell. That's a tough argument because, A, I think the public sees them and says, you get to play a kid's game. Why are you complaining? And, B, the public says, the minimum salary is $550,000 a year. I would give my left arm for that. Why are you complaining?
Right.
And, you know, I get both of those arguments. But at the same time, I think the players are in a pretty bad position right now. And when you see what Bryce Harper and Manny Machado bring, if they don't get $300 million, something is wrong with this market.
Well, yeah, and especially since, you know, these are two free agents that they're not even in the prime of their career yet. Like, if any, you would think, and I thought this going into the year, and you make a good point, I thought if we don't have a new record, I hate that, but if we don't have a record-setting contract out of this free agent class, then something really is wrong. And that's something the Players Association has to address. Because if it ain't this year, maybe Mike Trout when he becomes a free agent. But if it isn't this year,
right,
I'm not entirely certain we'll ever see it.
Yeah, I know. And you know what? It's positive, I think, that Patrick Corbin got $140 million. Like, that's a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that the Yankees were not willing to go beyond 5 years and $100 million, I found interesting, because the Yankees really liked Patrick Corbin, and they're the New York freaking Yankees, and they're making $600+ million a year in revenue, and I'm just sitting here doing like the shrug emoji look, because I don't get it. They really, really, really wanted him. They could get him. They really want anybody, they can get him. And that's where that's where a lot of this starts. It's those top teams that the Players Association, I think, expected to break through the luxury tax. And once you're there, it's like, forget it. We're just going to keep spending. And that has not happened. And there's a reasonable question that's getting, asked among people inside of Major League Baseball. And I'm talking 245 Park Avenue, the commissioner's office. And that is, if the luxury tax threshold were not in place, do you think teams would spend more than they do? And the popular answer is yes, but the contrarian answer, and one with which I agree actually, is no. I think teams have a sense that we can spend X amount of dollars, and spending any more is not going to distinctly increase our chance of winning and or add to the number of asses in seats at the ballpark. Yeah. And when you take those two things, they feel like they're maximizing their value in what they do right now. And man, it's hard to convince an organization to spend money these days.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think it's, it's a fascinating dynamic, and I don't know how you overhaul the game's salary system unless both parties are willing to do it. And right now, for ownership, it's working. It's a conundrum for the players.
Why would ownership change at this point? What leverage do the players have? And I think the leverage that the players ultimately can have is by banding together the way that they did under Marvin Miller and under Don Fear. And what are the commonalities between those two executive directorships of the Major League Baseball Players Association? They were rife with work stoppages.
Yeah.
And the only way you're going to get a successful work stoppage is by having all the players together. Because if all the players are not banded together behind one leader, behind one purpose, behind one ideal, the fractious nature of it is going to torpedo whatever chance they have.